Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Brady back to throw. He spins it down the right side and intercepted.
I want to start there.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And that should do it.
Jim Gray here on the Rich Eisen Show. You interviewed Brady more than anybody else. What do you think he's thinking right now, Jim?
Why did I throw those passes?
Earlier on the show, Saints head coach Sean Payton, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, from the new film Buddy Games, actor Josh Duhamel. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. It is time for hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We already had Sean Payton and Justin Herbert. And those are great conversations. Great conversations, even though my conversation with Justin Herbert ended with me making one last comment. Talk about how young he looked with his new haircut. He didn't really respond. And the rare instance of interviewing somebody where you go, you still there? You there?
Huh? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, just, I mean, the last two quarterback interviews, one ended with me saying, Justin, you still there? You there? Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Great. And then yesterday, Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Aaron, how do you watch a game like Monday Night Football? You know, Tom Brady, yep. You know, versus Jared Goff and, you know, might have to face the Bucs again. Same thing with the Rams, right? At some point, like, how do? You watch it? Do you break it down? Like, do you watch the rush? Do you watch the protection? Do you watch this? I don't watch it at all, Rich. You know, it's getting. You know, I have to go to sleep early. I was reading a book. What'd you read a book about? Oh, dreams.
What?
Tell me more about your dreams, Aaron. Like, literally, I turn into Dr. Melfi, and that's the way it rolled. Last two quarterback interviews. Who knew? All righty. We've got Josh Duhamel, the dreamy Josh Duhamel, going to be joining us. He's got a new movie called Buddy Games where he and his friends do stupid stuff. It's basically the plot, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like the great Holy Moly without mini golf on steroids, basically all of that. That's coming up. But I'm very thankful for this man calling in every single Wednesday. His podcast is dynamite. And I am quite frankly thankful that there is a show called Good Morning Football that starts off NFL Network every day and is one of the most watched and relevant shows on TV. And we have a show like it on NFL Network. And one of the members of Good Morning Football back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kyle Brandt. How are you, brother?
I'm great to talk to you, Rich. I'm awesome. I'm thankful for you, too. Thank you for the kind words.
It's true.
I'm also thankful for your conversation with Justin Herbert relating to haircuts because, frankly, Rich, I really like it when you got any topic of hair. You and I once shared a dinner in which you shared your feelings with me about Brian Urlacher being a traitor to your kind.
Yes.
And I thought it was very funny. And so I'm into it. And I would have loved to have been there in studio with you for the Herbert conversation.
Well, you know what, Kyle? I appreciate that. And yes, this was, I believe, last year, right around, you know, Christmas time in Tampa when you were there doing Good Morning Football prior to Bucks and Texans. And we had a fun dinner the night before where, yes, and I told this to Urlacher's face that he is a traitor. Brockman has chimed in as well. The bald brother, he left us behind.
Left us behind.
He's a
traitor. We don't take kindly to that.
He's the
face of O'Hare Airport, Brian Urlacher. you cannot leave or enter the city of Chicago without seeing his face with the fake hair on billboards all over the airport. One of the billboards even says O'Hare, H-A-I-R Airport, which is probably just rubbing your nose in it, Rich. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Not cool.
Oh, boy. So we just did Super Bowl mulligans to start this show because I'm getting mine ready for tomorrow's NFL game day morning.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take a mulligan on your preseason Super Bowl pick or no?
No, sir. Not in the AFC, my friend. The 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers.
And who'd you have in the NFC then? Who'd you have in the NFC?
No, none. I took a lot of heat at the time, as you always do if you pick anybody in August other than the reigning AFC and NFC champions. Everyone said, oh, come on, Roethlisberger. He's, you know, washed.com. You're living on planet delusional if you think Big Ben's going to come back from that. No way, no way. Not enough offense. Yeah, it looks pretty good. 10-0. Postponement aside, but
yes.
Nobody knew about Chase Claypool. Nobody knew how good Ben would be. I feel great there. therein lies the rub in the National Football Conference, though, Rich. As we talked about early on in this season, I just went big. I went all in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I don't feel great about now.
Nope.
And yet, I don't love really anyone in the NFC. I think there's a lot of good teams. And if you're talking about a great team, like I don't see a Chiefs, I don't see Pittsburgh, even New Orleans. You know, they're in a really strange position right now. And the team that I'm falling slowly in love with, like we're just slow dancing. It's you know, hands on the hips. We're playing Simply Red or something classy. I like the Rams.
Yeah, I'm crushing
on the Los Angeles Rams.
While you were saying that,
Defense and McVay.
Yes, while you were going with your underwater, the fish under the sea dance sort of setup right there.
Enchantment under the sea.
Enchantment.
I'm into it. I'm into the enchantment under the sea dance, yes.
Because we were pointing at Mike Del Tufo, who got off of his Buccaneers pick prior to the season and jumped on the Rams to win the NFC. That was his mulligan. Very rarely do I point to Mike Del Tufo and say your thinking would be similar to his, let alone in terms of trying to sound expert on the subject of football. But their defense is frightening. It is Aaron Donald's team now, if you're looking for an identity. It's Donald in the front, Jalen in the back. Kind of like, you know, a mullet, like a football mullet.
Yeah.
And then offensively, they didn't even need a run game to work. The games that requires apparently a run game to work off of on Monday night, man. I hear you.
It's the crazy thing about that game, too, is Aaron Donald was not in the stat sheet. Aaron Donald not only did not have a sack, he didn't have a tackle in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm not exaggerating. Cooper Kupp had more tackles than Aaron Donald for the Rams the other night, and they still won, and it didn't matter because he affects the game that much. They have so many good players around him now that they don't rely on their defensive tackle to take over the game, and they can still win. And I would be remiss, Rich, if we're talking NFC, to bring up. I feel like I've got a pretty good sense now of the things that both of us and the guys find hilarious, and the fact that we're here in 2020, and somehow the comedian Gallagher is relevant. I mean, how awesome is this that Gallagher is the face of the Dallas Cowboys right now?
It was like late night VH1. Gallagher was always on.
Well, here's I'm gonna keep pulling on this thread, Kyle.
Yes.
Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. That I do feel like Cowboys fans over the first 11 weeks of the season were actually draped in garbage bags because they were afraid of all the detritus that was going to be thrown upon them based on the sledgehammer that was the Dallas Cowboys season offensively and defensively. I do believe that there is already some similarity to the Cowboys season and the comedian Gallagher that fans had experienced, but did not actually, however, see that coming. Similar to, I think the last time a Super Bowl winning head coach brought up a pop culture reference nobody saw coming might have been when Belichick went Mona Lisa Vito on all of us during Deflategate. You know, like we didn't see that one coming. You know,
they were asking him to talk about, you know, the effect that cold weather has on inflation. And out of another galaxy, Bill Belichick said, "I'm not the Mona Lisa Vito of temperatures." Like, Bill, you've been sitting on that forever. And yet, listen, we've seen strange mascots, whether, you know, the rally monkey for the Angels.
Yes.
I remember at one point Pedro Martinez had a little friend that they referred to.
He definitely did.
Gallagher, of all things. And it just makes me wonder, like, will there be more friends? Like, if you're Mike McCarthy, you do the speech and you smash the watermelons and it works.
Yes.
What do you do as an encore? Like, what comedian from yesteryear do you break out? I have some suggestions.
Hold on a second. Kyle, before you do that, though, I think maybe before you get to the suggestions, I think you might want to work, if you don't mind me workshopping it before, is that instead of the same team pulling out other comedians from the past, that maybe in this wide open dumpster fire of an NFC East, maybe Joe Judge goes and gets Carrot Top for his own team and they do battle. And these older comedians do battle. Because I'm assuming
that's
one of the comedians.
That's how you one up Gallagher. You go and you get the John Lennon of prop comedy, Carrot Top. And that is if the Raiders aren't already using him because he's local.
Yes.
I think that would be great.
Yes.
I think if we're getting Gallagher up, I think you got to call I believe the gentleman's name was Jeff Dunham, who would have the grumpy old man marionette puppet or the ventriloquist puppet.
Or Terry Fader. He's also a ventriloquist.
Yeah, I think he's just down
and
the street,
after
too.
Dunham, I think you find my guy, Yakov Smirnov.
What a country.
And you talk to America's team, the motif fits perfectly. And then I think before Eagles week, you go to the legend and you say, if you're in the worst division of all time and you still can't win a game, you might be a Philadelphia Eagle. You go to the Fox. You go Foxworthy, and then you just run the gamut of these guys, and you go all the way to the Super Bowl.
So who knew, potentially, that the road to the Super Bowl went through Branson, Missouri? Who knew that that would do?
Branson. That's right. That's the town. Oh,
I do
man.
Believe that's where Yakov Smirnov might be seen right now, a pre-pandemic. You go to Branson, Missouri, and you bring the family, and you enjoy the Moscow on the Hudson comic stylings of Yakov Smirnov. There you go.
Yeah, and if anyone doesn't know Yakov, he was sort of he had a little bit of a Borat shtick before Borat, in Russia it's this, in America it's this, and he'd be like, America, what a country. You don't have tanks in your parades. You have Bullwinkle. I love this country. It was a great shtick for like a few years. Now, and he just killed
Can we bring
it.
Out Lance Burton, too?
That he just Lance chose a Burton. Vodka and decided to make it his last name. But it worked. He's still doing it. He still owns the state of Missouri.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, Rich, a little promotional thing here on the network. I know tomorrow morning, Good Morning Football, we will be doing our de facto handoff to you guys on our pregame coverage. I am going to be on my driveway tomorrow. We're doing a remote show, and I'm going to smash some watermelons in homage to Gallagher and the Cowboys.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I can't wait for that. But in all seriousness, Kyle, do you think McCarthy came up with this himself? I mean, what is the genesis of, you know what, trying to smash a watermelon, you know, Gallagher style, to show everybody prior to this game coming off the bye in Minnesota that whatever the hell the analogy would come from it. I mean, do we know where this came from?
It's a great question. And there's a follow-up question of, did he really think that anyone on the roster would resonate, that would hit home for them? I don't know if Leighton Vander Esch is familiar with Gallagher, but he went with it. And it strikes me as, Mike McCarthy, if we were to line up all 32 coaches, Rich, and say, which one is least likely to do a Gallagher prop humor with smashing watermelons, I think McCarthy might be the guy. This is the guy who used to show up for interviews. And, you know, you would ask, hey, Mike, we found this interesting thing in your background that you used to work as a toll booth operator before you got
into
football.
Right, Pittsburgh, yeah.
And he would say, yeah, you know, I don't actually think it's that funny. Okay, Mike, tell us about the Packers running game. He's not a dude, and yet he's smashing melons.
Oh, my God. And Jerry Jones is like, I thought maybe you should have gone with a Sid Caesar joke, maybe. You know, like.
Okay. Yeah.
The Cowboys long snapper is L.P. LaDuciere?
Yes. Oh, he's been at the league a long time.
He's 39. He's 39. So he is possibly the only one who knew Gallagher.
The long snapper got it. Yeah. I think is what he's
saying. LaDuciere has the What a Country VHS. He remembers the Showtime specials for Yakov Smirnov and Jeff Dunham with the puppet. That's great. Okay, he's the guy.
He knows. He knows. And I bet I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Dalton
did the Gallagher thing back in 1990. Whatever. I mean, come on. Marvin Lewis was all over Gallagher. Come on. Oh,
yeah,
my
Monty
God.
Kiffin loved Gallagher. He loved it. Big Gallagher guy.
Monty Kiffin. Fantastic. Yeah. Kyle Brandt here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right, brother. Scott Stapp. Look, you've had a lot of great celebrities on your podcast. You've got a lot of great celebrities on you. And you've done yeoman's work when you got someone like Tim Robbins on and nail it with all the pop culture reference. But this has to be, right? This has to be way up there for you so far for your podcast.
This is my Let It Be. This is why I got out of bed in the morning to have Scott Stapp from Creed, who comes on, tells all the stories, completely self-deprecating, and has an awesome connection to the NFL. Scott Stapp, responsible for the iconic 2001 Thanksgiving Day halftime performance, a game in which I believe it was the Brian Greasy-led Broncos visiting the Ryan Leaf-led Dallas Cowboys,
and
they played Higher, and they played their other songs, and And he gets into all the details of the flying ribbon men and all the decorations, and he's wearing a number 11 jersey with staff on the back. I said, Scott, why is it 11? What, was it a Drew Bledsoe or something? He says, no, it's 11 because that's two ones put together, and that's how many number one hits we had at the time. And I was like, oh, Stapp, you are beautiful. He was so fun and so cool.
I was hoping his answer would be because like a Spinal Tap answer, because that's where his the volume went up to 11.
You turn it up when we're playing higher. Yeah, he could have said that, but he went two number one hits, tells all the story of his recovery, Creed, how much he loves Aaron Rodgers, if he's willing to play a private concert for Kirk Cousins' birthday.
That's right. Oh, that's
it.
Right.
He's a legend.
So how did you connect the – because these are dots that you can connect yourself from your podcast guests, right?
Yeah, and at the end of every episode, we ask somebody, all right, so you've done the show. Call somebody out. Who should come on? Challenge them, you know, like one of these viral challenge styles. So, you know, McConaughey says, Woody Harrelson, come on here. And Aaron Rodgers says, James Holzhauer from Jeopardy, come on here. Well, Kirk Cousins, as we know, is an unabashed, proud Creed fan from day one. Right. And after Cousins came on, had a great episode, he said, I want to have Scott Stapp come on here. I'm like, I don't know what Stapp's up to. I've never met him. I don't know if they're touring. Reach out to Stapp. He says, I'm in. He shows up, bangs out 90 minutes of premium stuff, and he was in. And he and Kirk Cousins may work out something for a private concert of my own prison for Kirk's birthday. I mean it. It's great.
You do know you've got to get Gallagher on now, though, right? I mean,
I know. I mean, Gallagher, Rich. You're in this. Gallagher's a huge get right now. I don't know if any people are Trevor Oliver and Barbara Walters competing for a Gallagher right now. He's hot.
So I got
and I'd love to get him.
I got to tell you, Kyle. I mean, when Belichick dropped that Mona Lisa Vito reference,
I know.
Chris was it the Thursday or the Friday before the Super Bowl? It was right before.
It was on the weekend.
No, Saturday. That's right. It was the Saturday before they were.
We had just landed in Arizona.
Right. So it was our first Super Bowl that we did for this show, along with, you know, DirecTV, and we had it all set up. And you've got the soundbite. Okay.
I'm not a scientist.
Oh, great.
I'm not an expert in footballs. I'm not an expert in football measurements.
He's pissed.
I'm just telling you what I know. Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
Incredible.
As she was in the car expertise area.
Like, was he watching my cousin Vinny the night before?
Oh, God. Like, just fantastic. So we immediately said, we have to get, even though, I mean, we had so much working, you know, so many moving parts. We had never done this before at a Super Bowl for our show. And you know, we had so many moving parts, and the guests were all lined up. We said we had to go get Marissa Tomei as a guest.
Oh, my God.
We had to get. So I immediately started calling people who knew her. I had run into her once or twice before. She wound up being, the only time she could do it was the first segment of our first ever Super Bowl show. So the first ever Super Bowl we guessed in the history of this show was, in fact, Marissa Tomei, who said that her phone totally blew up out of nowhere, having no idea why. And her life basically for 48 hours went crazy because Belichick made that reference.
It's incredible. Oscar winner in that role. And you opened the show with it. That's a really amazing frozen moment, which I remember. And I only wish there was more. I wish that Belichick, when referring to the two gentlemen who inflate the footballs, referred to them as the two youths.
The two youths.
And said he takes pride in his grits. And that's how he knows how long it takes them to time the ball. He could have gone down a huge, huge wormhole for my cousin Vinny. And maybe he still has that in him. But you opening the show through Super Bowl week with the Oscar winner, Mona Lisa Vito, it's an all-timer.
It was great. And I'm wondering, Gallagher's phone must have blown up wherever the hell that was. We could ping him in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, see, I wonder, though, like, Gallagher, not exactly maybe the ideal radio guest. I'm going to kind of need the vision for Gallagher. I need the zoom for the watermelon.
Describe for me the fruit exploding.
Gallagher is 74, and I think he's retired in Idaho.
There you go.
Yeah, I know he's got takes, too. There was a time when Comedy Central named their top 100 stand-ups of all time, and Gallagher was literally number 100, and he didn't think it was funny. He was pissed. He starts naming people in front of him and says, I never heard of this guy. I'm Gallagher. Like, he has takes. So maybe I take it back.
So somewhere up around Redfish Lake, in the 2 seconds that the that the 5G kicked in and his phone could actually get some sort of reception, It buzzes like, what the hell's going on with the Dallas Cowboys?
Amazing.
And it worked. It worked. They won the game. It worked.
It actually... You got to keep doing it.
Somebody, Jerry Jones is somebody go down to the supermarket and get me some more melons.
Jerry was on. He was on JMFB this morning, and we said,
"Did you?"
So, what do you think of it, Jerry? And Jerry, would you be willing to swing the mallet yourself personally? And you know, he did his thing. If it means we're going to win games, more than healthy to help out. So he said, "Yeah, I'm game." Spit in his hands, rub it together, and smash a melon.
Somebody go to the Arlington shop right and buy up all the honeydew. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll chat with you, I guess, in the morning when your show hands off to from Good Morning Football to NFL Game Day morning. You're the man. Really
appreciate
it.
Absolutely, sir. I am leaving right now to go to the supermarket to find watermelons, and I'm not kidding. I'll be smashing them tomorrow.
Cannot wait.
Please take a photograph of the cart. Okay, take a photograph of the cart.
Are your kids going to be outside?
Pumpkin pies and sweet potatoes. There's one idiot buying 12 watermelons in November. That'll be me.
You're like Flounder in Animal House. I'll take 10,000 watermelons, please.
That's me. Like,
10,000
hanging up and going. I gotta get a watermelon.
All right, take it easy. There's Kyle Brian, everybody. See you, bud. Oh, my gosh. That was funny.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't expecting to talk about Gallagher with him, but that Mike McCarthy doing a Gallagher act to fire up his team, and it worked.
If there was any head coach that would have done this, it's McCarthy, right?
No. He basically said he's like the last one you'd think that would be attuned to that sort of thing.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know of any like comedy, stand-up comedy aficionado,
like
NFL
Pete Carroll,
coaches.
Maybe?
I guess. You need to have him zoom into the team.
So crazy.
Ugh.
Whatever works, man. Like
are you a Cowboy fan who's familiar with Gallagher's work, TJ Jefferson?
I know it.
Hold on a second. You must have met him, right? You've met everybody. I remember that one time when Ashton had Gallagher come over.
And we picked up some watermelon.
He smashed some kiwi backyard. And Charlie Sheen picked up the tiger blood. And what?
I've met Yakov Smirnoff at the Comedy Store. And actually, Adam in the back said, true story, Yakov did a podcast episode with my roommate in my apartment living room. That's from Adam in the back.
Yakov Smirnoff.
Did Yakov get any Lou Malnati's?
Great question. Probably.
All right. Let's take a break. Josh Jumel is going to join us next. Another fun game coming up. He was on the unfortunate wrong end of the Gallagher trick. He's a diehard Vikings fan. He's coming up next.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hey everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now.
Yep, there's merchandise, mugs, hats, and that mask. You want to see what it looks like when it's worn? Don, would you mind calling up the Instagram photo one more time from before with the bagels and my friends from NFL The Grind?
Timmy and Bob and Rafael.
There I am with all
Jorge,
my friends.
Ike. What's up, Ike?
There I am with all Derek, my friends who gave
Johnny,
me bagels because
Harry,
they appreciate
Phil,
our camaraderie.
Jimmy two times. Going to get the bagels.
Look at
the
mask.
Bagels.
Look at the mask. The bagels. Mask looks good, doesn't it?
Mask looks good.
Have we figured out our discount on these masks yet?
No.
Okay.
back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're all good.
I just didn't know if we got, you know.
What a great conversation with Kyle Brandt. Did we talk football very much at all? A little bit.
A little bit.
God, that's so funny. Again, I forgot to even promote his pod again. It's 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, Spotify, and The Ringer.
Scott Stapp
of Creed is his guest.
With arms wide open.
Good morning. Football is on the air at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Wait a minute. We're on at, I don't even know what the hell. We're on at 10 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So they'll be on at 8 a.m.
An hour later,
taking it to us. Oh, that'll be great.
I'll be watching.
Is our friend Josh on the phone?
Of course.
As promised, the film Buddy Games, it's available in theaters and on demand, digital and DVD right now, marks his directorial and writing debut. He also plays the role of Bob Father in this film, along with Olivia Munn and Dax Shepard. Nick Swardson was phenomenal. And Kevin Dillon and so much more. Our friend Josh Duhamel back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Josh?
Rich, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on this program. I greatly appreciate it. Now, this film, Josh, before we get into everything else here, let's get right into it. Buddy Games, it is your directorial and writing debut. It's about a group of friends who come back together to play the Buddy Games, and a lot of these competitions are, they're interesting. Let's put it that way, Josh. They're interesting. I give you the floor on some of these games that you play. The Buddy Games.
That's a very tame way to put it. Yes, they are interesting. Obviously, we heighten some of the events for cinematic value.
Yes.
We don't actually do a lot of the things that you'll see in this movie, but we do some pretty crazy stuff. My buddies and I have been doing this for, I don't know, 20 years or so. And I've known these guys since I was, like, some of them since kindergarten.
Right.
And we had an idea to write this script a few years ago, and we wrote it and decided to take it in, and we ended up, you know, WWE loved it and let me direct it. And it's you know, my goal here was to do two things. One was to tell a story about friendship and how those friends become more valuable as we all get older. And, you know, there's some real underlying themes here. But, you know, mostly I wanted to do something that really pushed the envelope. I wanted there to be moments in this thing where people are like, oh, my God, I can't believe they just went there. And there's some stuff you just can't unsee in this movie. And we've shown it now a few times in theaters, and people absolutely lose their minds, which is what I was rooting for.
So let me walk through one by one here, and you tell me if you've actually done this or your friends have actually done this with you, and or you just made it up for the film, if that's okay, Josh.
Oh, please do.
Okay, first one is you take a laxative before going into a bar and hit on girls before the laxative kicks in. Is that something you've done?
No, we have not actually done that, but that would be a pretty fun one. We might try that one next year.
Okay, but that is what is done in this film.
Well, the idea is to win the challenge, everybody has to down a little bottle of laxative. You got to get a girl to buy you a drink.
Yep.
You got to get them on the dance floor, and you got to get them to give you a kiss on the lips. And if you can do all that before you lose it, you win the competition.
Okay. here's another one.
Highbrow stuff, Rich.
Hold on a second. Here's another one. Playing chicken with a Komodo dragon with meat strapped to your head. Last one to bail wins. What do you got on that one, Josh?
We actually have not done that one either. That is that was one that we made up for cinematic value. It was the idea there is that you strap a pork chop. It's pretty self-explanatory. You strap a pork chop to your head. Everybody sticks their head up this, you know, inside of this hole. So the only thing showing is your head.
Mm-hmm.
We release a Komodo dragon, the last one who stays above the hole wins.
So what in this film is something that you have done? I've just named a couple of them. I don't want to give up too many. But what have you done in real life in Buddy Games?
Well, I mean, this last year, every year we do everything from ping pong to wiffle ball to golf.
Okay.
You know, all the basics, but there's always one competition that's just outrageous. This last year, Bob, the guy who I play in the movie,
yes,
made us all strip down into our underwear, gave us a nut cup and a helmet, and you had to stand there with your arms, you know, spread wide both ways, and the other team would shoot a paintball from about 20 yards away. And if you flinched, you lost a point. And if you got hit, you know, depending on what part of the body you got hit, you would get a certain amount of points. So that's the kind of, you know, adolescent behavior that we revert immediately back to as soon as we all get together.
And again, I don't want to give anything away in the film, but in real life, what do you win when you say you get points? Like, what does this...
Bragging rights, man. Bragging rights.
That's it? That's it? It's not even like a plaque or a trophy that you could just point to and say, this is what I got because I didn't flinch when a paintball hit me in the nuts? Like, literally,
well, you do. No, you don't even really get a trophy. At one point, there was a trophy, but that, I don't even know what happened to that thing. So, yeah, it's just bragging rights. And now that we're actually talking it out loud, I'm starting to think that there's something wrong with me in my friend.
Josh Duhamel here on The Rich Eisen Show. And how many of these, I'm assuming the number is zero, but how many of these is something Nick Swartzen said, that's too much, I can't do it?
Zero. That guy is as fearless as they come. I'm not even kidding you. Him and back at all. I mean, James Rodet is amazing. And these guys, you know, it's not just screwball stuff either. It is outrageous, especially the stuff we're talking about. And we didn't even get into the pina colada part of it. But, but yeah, it's I truly got, I wanted guys who would come in. We only had 18 days to shoot it, so we had to go quick. I wanted guys who were, you know, actors first, but also comedic and could improvise. And I just kind of let them go. You know, we had parameters that we had to keep within the scene to push the story forward. But, you know, I wanted these guys to feel sort of creatively liberated as they went. And that's the way I love to work. And that's kind of the environment that we set. And they came in and just laid it down. And it was so much fun. It was like summer camp.
So did you at least attempt to get Dame Judi Dench in the cast? Streep? Did you ever go on that?
Well,
what do you think?
I did, but apparently she was busy.
just maybe the stunts were just too easy for her. She wanted something more challenging. Could be that, Josh,
you know? You know, Rich, you would be a good, I've seen you run that 40.
Yes.
Yeah. You would be a good contestant. You're always welcome, man.
I could do the one where you have to run in protective gear with the arrows being shot. I could try that one. You know,
yeah,
I could try that one.
That would be a good one.
How about this one? Josh Duhamel here on The Rich Eisen Show again. His directorial and writing debut, Buddy Games, is available in theaters on demand, digital DVD right now. The insane obstacle course that includes electric shocks and beer chugging. Did you pick that one up when you showed up on the set of Holy Moly recently? Is that where you got that one from? Josh?
No, I didn't actually. I scrubbed the internet. I found some ridiculous stuff. We got ideas and then we sort of, you know, molded them to the way we needed them to play out in the movie. But yeah, we just wanted to have this. And that actually does come from something it's a different group of buddies that I met out here in LA who do this thing called Tres Hombres. And they do this giant obstacle course that includes all kinds of crazy stuff. And that's sort of where that idea came from, but we just kind of made a different version of it for the movie. But yeah, you know, this is the thing about this is that as crazy as it sounds, it is truly something we all look forward to every year. And guys all over the world do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Maybe not this extreme, but you know, I think it's important to keep that kid alive inside of you, you know, and mine is alive and kicking. Believe me, you know, I love to sort of, first of all, see my boys. I love these guys. And, you know, we just kind of immediately revert back to our 16-year-old selves when we get together.
It's just fun.
And I think that's okay.
It's fun. It's just a
especially
ton of fun.
Right now,
it's a laugh riot, man, the whole thing. Buddy Games.
I think it's a good time for it, too. You know, I think that there's nothing but a good time here. And I think that, you know, right now is a great time to have this movie
unleashed
on the world.
We just want to get lost and just have fun and forget about all, you know, real world stuff. I mean, I had Jared Goff on last week, quarterback of the Rams, and he's in a fantasy league with all his buddies from back in the day. Just like, you know, I mean, I guess it's a version of Buddy Games in a way, Josh. Is that he said, even though he's not paying terrible attention to it, but he has a friend who is his general manager, the loser of the league has got to do something totally crazy year in and year out. 2 years ago, it was the loser of the league had to go fly to Nome, Alaska for a day. And last year, it was, what was it? The Barstool Chris has some sort of a fight every
year. They have Rough and Rowdy.
Rough and Rowdy. They had to go fight in the Barstool Rough and Rowdy at the Super Bowl. Like, that's what they had to do. That's what.
What do you mean go fight? Like a fist fight?
Yes, like
actually, boxing.
Yeah, like actually get in a ring And have to get in an actual fist fight competition with somebody because you lost a fantasy football league. I mean, people do this sort of stuff all the time, and it's fun. It's just fun to see, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree, man. I love that. Those are my kind of guys right there.
I bet. So how did you show up on the set of Holy Moly? Honestly, I was watching that. I watch it with my kids. We love it. The whole family does. And then just seeing you there, I think it was Zac Efron was in the crowd, too. How did you wind up there?
So my buddy Tanner was competing in it, and you know, they've got a similar group of buddies, kind of like mine, where they're very tight and they all kind of hang out.
Right.
And he was on the show, and they said, "Dude, you got to come in and watch. You got to come watch. Tanner's on Holy Moly." So I went out there, and I had no idea they were going to put me on air. It was just like they knew that I was coming, I guess. And they
right.
had a mic all set. I was like, "Wait! I'm just here to support." But you know, being the pushover that I am, I agreed to do it. Next thing I know, I'm sitting next to Rob Riggle in the booth and Joe Tessitore. I mean,
it was hilarious.
It was amazing.
It was actually a really fun time.
It was. That show, again, like it kind of is the same, you know, without the, you know, Komodo dragon, but it's a similar sensibility where it's just like, let's all get together and do something that's really stupid, but it's fun. And there's a certain camaraderie to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all for it. And I don't even apologize for it. It's part of, when you grow up in North Dakota, you gotta be imaginative, especially in the winter. And this is, I think, where we got these sick, twisted senses of humor is just, you know, out of sheer boredom and you know, in the cold tundra of North Dakota in the middle of winter.
Before I let you go, you think your Vikings still have a shot this year? What do you think?
I'm not that confident. You know, they have games where they play well. I think Cousins is a passable quarterback, if that's the right term. I just don't think he's the kind of guy that is going to take him over the top. No offense to him or his abilities, because he's a good quarterback, obviously. I just wish we had somebody like a Rodgers or a Mahomes, but, you know, those guys aren't exactly a dime a dozen.
No. But Dalvin Cook is that version at running back, I think. I think you got yourself a superstar.
We definitely have talent, but we also lost a lot of talent last year. I think that hurt us. Well, it lost a lot of guys in the D-line.
Right.
O-line's been a little beat up. Picked up some good players, but just doesn't feel like we have enough to really do damage.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson and Cook together, I think, for years to come. There is something there. And you're right. If Cousins is the right trigger man, then maybe you can make some run here. I mean, 4-6, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, they could make a run, and they do have talent. I love Zimmer. I do like the team, and I don't even dislike Cousins. I just have not been able to buy all the way in. There's a kid out of North Dakota State. Have you been following him at all? That Trey Lance.
Tell me about him. Tell me more about him. I have heard of him, and I've heard his name a lot.
He was a redshirt freshman last year. Played the player that you won the Walter Payton Award, won the Jerry Rice Award. First guy ever to do that, I think.
Right.
Didn't have, lived like 20 some touchdowns, zero interceptions. Has a really nice arm and can move and he can improvise. And that's a guy that I think they need to watch for is you know, as much as I'd love to get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, he's going to go to the Jets probably.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that your team?
It is, Josh. And everybody needs to back off from Trevor because he's the Jets. He's the Jets' property. You don't go 0-10 and then drop the ball this close to getting him. That's not happening, man. No way.
You know, he does have another year of eligibility. I'm not sure.
Bite your tongue, damn it. I'm selling your movie for you. Come on now.
I would like to see Trevor Lawrence go there. I do like the Jets, and I think that you know, they need a guy like that to sort of...
Come on, seriously. Like in New York City, don't you think he would be dynamite in New York City? Don't you think?
I do.
Right?
But what happened with the kid out of USC? What's his name?
Darnold. I don't know. The Jets broke him.
Working out?
They broke him in two, brother.
That's the problem, though. You can't. It doesn't matter what the quarterback. You got to have the right guys around to sort of coach him up, too, no matter how good they are.
Right. And I think.
So they got to get that right.
That is correct. I think they will. I think, you know, the best of the best will raise their hands and say, I want a shot here. So,
if they get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, I think that'll attract the right kind of people to come and, you know, groom him.
Right, but if not, maybe the young man that you're touting right now could be a quality, if you will, silver medal or bronze medal. I don't know, but, you know.
I want him to go to the Vikings. I want Trey Lance at the Vikes. He's from Minnesota, too.
Well, then that would be somebody that they got to trade to go get, because I don't think you're going to be close enough. I don't know. Maybe he'll drop. I don't know. That wouldn't be a bad one. What a great choice that would be.
That's the problem with the Vikings. They're always good enough where they never get a great draft. They never get, like, that super high draft pick.
Right.
So we're always right there. We're kind of middle, upper pack. And then we haven't ever, that I can remember, grabbed a young quarterback that we've been able to develop. We always get like somebody who's sort of been kicked around a little.
Well, you know, there's still more football to be played. Maybe you got a run in you here. And I look forward to everybody checking out Buddy Games and theaters on demand, digital, and DVD right now. Josh, congrats on it's a fun movie, brother. And Olivia Munn's in it as well. A lot of fun moments, and just have a good time watching the directorial and writing debut of Josh Duhamel. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Always. You know that. Have a great holiday. That's
you
Josh. That's,
too,
they're right back at you. Josh Duhamel, at Josh Duhamel on both Twitter and Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break right now. When we come back, the Judah Maccabee of fantasy football players. He's gone way past the Hanukkah 8 days of oil burning. Is it Christian McCaffrey or Mike Davis? And your phone calls to wrap us up.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski. And I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Saved by the Bell, Bayside's back, people, starting today right here on Peacock. Saved by the Bell, an original series brought to you by the friends at Peacock, a Peacock original. Back with new students, new stories, and some very familiar faces. Start streaming Saved by the Bell today. Elizabeth Berkley, Mario Lopez. There you go. Mr. Belding, played by John Patrick Higgins, right?
Yeah, from America Says.
Yep. He's so funny. John Michael Higgins. Pardon me.
John Michael.
Yeah, he is so damn funny in all of the Christopher Guest movies.
Oh, best in show.
And also Pitch Perfect with Elizabeth Banks. Yep. He's calling all the Pitch Perfect competitions. He is so damn funny. He is so very funny.
You ever seen him in The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston?
I have not, no.
He does,
oh, man.
He sings that song, right?
Yes.
Is he Love Aniston's yourself? Brother in that
He's
movie?
Jennifer Aniston's brother.
All right.
Yeah.
Back here on our radio network. Okay, we got one segment before we go into our Thanksgiving weekend.
All right.
I'll be on NFL Game Day morning tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We're taking off on this show tomorrow and then Friday. And then we'll be back on Monday. After a full weekend of football. But let's empty the phone banks before we go into our weekend. Let us go to Jeff in Detroit. He's been holding on for 2+ hours, and we're always thankful for his friendship. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going
on? Real quick, let me shout out. Oh, nothing much. Just was wondering, I'm thankful for Matt Stafford, because when you got a quarterback like that, you're never out of the game. He'll get you down the field 60 seconds or less with no problem. And I had a quick question for you.
Yes.
Which Hall of Fame bomb quarterback with one ring needs another, and who will get it first? Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Look at Jeff doing his usual drill.
I'm going to put this on Twitter right now.
Who's going to do it first?
Whoever retires first.
Oh, my gosh.
They're all
who needs
in.
It more? No. He's like, who needs the second ring more?
Who needs
the
second
more?
Ring first? Yeah.
To get into the hall?
No, they're all just, getting into the hall.
Just
who
for
just
legacy
needs
purpose,
it?
Oh, gotcha. Right? I misheard. Okay.
Oh, man. They all need it.
Aaron Rodgers.
Why? Favre didn't get to.
Yeah, but people don't think Favre's the greatest of all time. There's a lot of Packer fans who think Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady or on the same level as Tom Brady.
Right.
But 6-1.
Look,
but if
the
you
second
had that
ring's
second
gonna,
one.
Look, second ring's not going to put anybody on the level of Tom Brady. It's just that Tom's got 6. He's been a 9. No one's even going to touch him. You got to sit here and talk about Brees a little bit. I mean, he's got every record in the books, every single record in the books. If he gets a second one, that would be significant. Certainly if he walks off. This would be a walk-off. This would be like Elway. This would be like Strahan, the bus, Ray Lewis. That would be amazing. What do you think, Jeff?
I honestly believe it's like you could almost go ahead, because as good as Aaron Rodgers is, if he got that second ring, I mean, because people always say he's the most talented.
Right.
You do
tomorrow.
The same. You guys have
see
wonderful
you,
Thanksgiving. Thanks
Happy Thanksgiving.
We appreciate you, brother.
We really need you guys.
You're the man. You take care. It's Jeff in Detroit.
Jeff from Detroit.
I think people think Russell got the second one anyway. If he just give it, if he was allowed to hand the ball off, I'm serious, man.
Yeah, come on.
I'm serious.
If he hands the ball off, they're done. You know who? We were there.
What if he audibled? Has that ever come out?
He definitely didn't audible.
Oh, that'll be
NFL
out of
films.
I know everyone blames Daryl
it.
Bevel for this, but what if Russ audibled to that play?
Oh,
let's go to Jason in Miami. He's been hanging on for an hour. What's up, Jason?
Rich, how you guys doing, man?
How are you
doing today?
Brother Jake?
What's going on?
Good. I just calling to chop it up with you. Listen, I hear you, TJ. See, I want to be part of the show, part of the crew.
Okay.
I called you a couple of weeks. And especially being on Wednesdays after Kyle Brandt, you know, I love his energy. So, you know, maybe I'll give you a call every Wednesday. We chop
Done.
It up. I can even send you a picture of myself. You can put me on the banner.
You got it. Well, TJ's got to get on the banner
first. Good luck with that, Jake. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Good luck
so
with that.
Here's my thing. I got a couple of – I'm going to give you what I'm thankful for. But I got two turkeys I want to get out first.
Okay.
All right? The first turkey is – we all know the owner of the Dallas Cowboys is a Hall of Famer. We love her.
Right.
We love him. But the general manager of that team.
He didn't get in the hall because he's the GM,
of the
huh?
Year.
Right.
Uh-huh. Turkey of the year for that guy.
Okay.
Second turkey of the year. Number 4 in your program. Number 1 in your heart. The MVP of the Big Ten, 1986. You know where I'm going, Rich.
Oh, Jason.
Uh-oh.
Class of 92, Michigan class of 92. I got to say that every time to you so you
know
that
no, I know.
I'm in this with you.
Then if you're a Michigan class of 92, I'll have to call timeout on you on that one. So what else you got?
All right, so as far as I want to give thanks, you know, there's a lot of people, sports fans, who have never seen their team have a championship. There's people, Cubs fans and Red Sox fans.
Yep.
Some of them have lived and died and not seen a championship. If you're born after 1972, you know, you haven't seen the Dolphins, the Lions, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to say what happened in 1969. So me, I'm just grateful to be able to have seen my teams win. The Cowboys in 77, that's really when I first became a fan, when they beat the Broncos. And then the 90s Cowboys, and then obviously in 98. You know, with the Wolverines pulling that out.
That was one of the best. Yes.
Absolutely. One of the best. It's a shame that we had to share that, but that's a conversation.
Tell me about it. I've already been on record for that. Thanks for the call, Jason. Direct message us a photograph, and we'll get you suited up.
Later, Jay.
Mark in Iowa, what's going on? How have you been, Mark?
Rich. Eisen.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I I just want to call and offer my thanks. And I hesitated at first, but I thought, no, this is one of the main reasons I am calling to give you thanks is it's been a rough year for a lot of people.
Yep.
And I'm not going to pretend to speak for everybody, but
you
at
can.
The same time, what I'm about to say, I'm sure, has affected many more people than myself. You know, it's been a crazy year. I fought the COVID. I went through that. But chiefly, I lost my only son in July.
Oh, and I am so sorry, Mark.
I drive around a lot on these roads and the job that I do. But I find myself always tuning in. And it's for several reasons. And one is that the preparation, the content, the humor, the sincerity, the true feeling that I get, like I could just sit down with you guys and it would be just like, hey man, it's Mark. I haven't seen you here for a couple weeks. So I think it just makes you feel part of it. And it has helped me tremendously that you folks and Rich, the things that you do and how you put things together, the people you bring together to make this happen. And for folks like me that tune in on a daily basis, it's there's so many things that go with it. Dealing, it, the humor, the sincerity, like I said, I'm just very appreciative.
Thank you,
of what
Mark.
You do and how you do it.
Oh, and my gosh. My thanks, condolences, Mark. And let's right. get through 2020 together. And are you there, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Just know you are part of this show. We're greatly appreciated. And you're such a part of this show that my guys would forget to include you in the pizza order. Okay? So that's how you're locked in. Okay?
I appreciate that. That's
how we show love.
That's how they show love here. That's how they show love here. Mark, thanks again. Happy. Have as good a Thanksgiving as you possibly can have. And I appreciate that.
Take care, bro.
It was nice of him to pass that along. Yeah. We greatly appreciate all of our fans. I think Mark used the phrase of hesitant, but he's going to go through anyway. I look down at the bottom of our call sheet, and I see somebody who I know who she is. I know who she is, and I know she lurks. And I know, and I know what weekend it is. I understand what weekend it normally would be. Liz in Los Angeles.
Sounds familiar.
You're on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Liz?
Hey.
What's up, Liz?
Hey, Rich. First time, long time.
No, you're not. No, Liz.
I'm wondering how we're supposed to celebrate Thanksgiving this year without the Ohio State-Michigan game. Been played the Saturday after Thanksgiving since 2010, and here we are without it. So, you know, I'm kind of lost of what to do. But at the end of the day, this has to be good news for you, right? With the game not being played until December 12th, that's going to allow you to enjoy Thanksgiving this year, I think, you know, since you're not going to be experiencing that dark abyss of anxiety.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa. Dark Abyss of Anxiety. That's a good fantasy name.
Great name. Go on, Liz. We have 2 minutes left. What else you got cooking?
Talk that talk,
yeah, I'm
Liz.
Sure you no, got I didn't know if the date change would drag out the feeling of inevitable dread or if it's just a relief.
Uh-huh. These are all rhetorical questions, right? I mean, you want me to answer them? Is that what you want me to do? Or just you want to...
You can do with it what you will.
Is there a chase to cut to here?
For your well-being as we go through these next 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Don. What is the... Oh, God. This is a graphic.
Oh, my goodness.
This is not right.
Oh, this is awful.
Since the debut of the show. Holy shit. I just said it. I don't care. I'm working Go Blue.
Air horn for that one.
I'm working Go Blue here. Oh, God.
I mean,
you know what that graphic tells me?
No.
That you DJ. Might be the mush.
I'm not the mush.
Ooh.
I mean, the analytics like Daryl Morey would tell me differently.
Wow.
Anything else, Liz?
You're not the mush, Rich.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Liz, how was that pizza?
Liz. All right, Liz, we'll chat soon. Yeah, the pizza. You got the pizza that got sent here, right? You got the pizza that got sent
I
here as part
them,
of it.
And I had one of them, part of one yesterday, and it's delicious.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that you got pizza that was sent here by, I think, a viewer, right, or a listener sent here because they felt bad because you were left out, too. I'm glad you got some, Liz, despite you throwing me under a scarlet and gray bus here as we go out the door. Thank you for the call.
It wouldn't be this time of the year if I didn't.
Thank you, Liz.
I can't let traditions die.
Oh, God. We'll chat soon. There's Liz Whale.
We'll chat soon in like 5 minutes.
Did I say I was thankful for working with all of you? I really am. I love doing the show. We'll be back here on Monday. Love everybody out there. And it really does touch us when people call in and say that we can make a little bit of difference in anybody's listening and viewing. So everybody have a happy and healthy and safe Thanksgiving. For our Peacock viewers, we'll take you to Brother from Another. But to all of our radio listeners, we love you. And we'll chat Monday.